All right, guys, what's going on? Back at you with another episode of Quarantine Football. Like always, I'm your co-host, Ryan, with you guys today. Always a pleasure to be here, sit down, and talk to all of our listeners out there. I got my great co-host, Nate, with us as well. Nate, what's going on, man? How are you doing today?
Doing pretty well today. You know, starting to get some early starts because of college still, and I'm excited for the interview today.
Yeah, man. Like you said, you know, getting those early starts for college. I actually have a regular sleep schedule now, which is kind of nice. Not going to bed at like 3 a.m., waking up at like, you know, noon every day, going to bed at like now like 12, 1 a.m., waking up at like 10. So, you know, that's been kind of nice getting, prepared for classes, all that good stuff. But enough about us, because we're here today for the guest that we have on the show, center from Tulsa, Gerard Wheeler. Gerard, how you doing today, man?
I'm doing good. Glad to be here.
Hey, man, it's an absolute pleasure to have you on the show, be able to talk to you today, man. Getting on with the question that we have for today, you know, first question I like to ask all the guys we have on the show is, why did you start playing football? And then more specifically, why center?
I'm originally from Chicago, and I played basketball. And then my family had moved us to Texas. And I didn't really know too much about football. And then as soon as I got there, the coaches wanted me to play for them. And they sent a great team, so that's kind of how I was introduced. And I just kind of found a love for it. I could be I can hit guys without getting in trouble. So I was always good. And then I picked center because, it's a position that not many people want to play. You know what I'm saying? So I took on that challenge. You know, I'm not 6'5". So I thought that would fit me best, where I can grow the best as well. So that's why I chose center, and that's why I play center.
Yeah, for sure. You know, you talked about how some people, you know, don't really want to play center, not the most like popular position to play in the world. And for you personally, what would you say is like one of the hardest parts about playing the position of center that a lot of like casual fans don't really expect when they just watch on the field?
I think people got to like understand that the play starts with you every time. You know what I'm saying? Like the snap doesn't get back there correctly, it's all messed up, you know? So like we're really the start of it all. And then with that, you got to be able to read the defense and communicate with the rest of your whole line as well. Like the whole line is a team within the team, honestly. And you gotta be able to, you know, pick out fronts, call out a safety creeping, a linebacker leaning, you know what I'm saying? Like you gotta be very, you gotta communicate. So you gotta be able to communicate and also see what you're about to go into. So you gotta kind of play the play before it happens.
Yeah, definitely,
tough
man.
Thing to do.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, you know, I like how you said, you know, the play pretty much starts with the center. And I mean, it truly does. You know, you got to get the snap perfectly. You know, if it's a bad snap, you know, the play could just go completely haywire. And I think that, brings a lot of pressure on a center to get it right every single time. How are you able to deal with that pressure on the field and make sure that, you know, you're on top of your game and, every snap is to perfection?
It kind of becomes like muscle memory. It's like a free throw. I say the less you think about it, the better it is. When you really think about it, that's when you start, you know, having high snaps, low snaps. So, try to be consistent. I mean, I felt like using the glove was a little bit better than the hand because, like, for me, I got a sweaty hand. So, I use a glove to have a consistent feel to the ball and all that stuff. So, it is figure out what's comfortable with you. But, yeah, it's all about being consistent, not overthinking the snap at the same time.
Yeah, definitely, man. You know, staying consistent, like you said, is definitely key to playing that position. And I also like how you mentioned, you know, the communication aspect of playing on the O-line. You know, we see, lots of teams in college and the NFL, you know, they can have one, you know, person on the O-line who's really good and the rest can be absolutely, you know, pardon my language, but dog shit. And, you know, I mean, it's really, you know, the O-line is one of the most crucial parts about football. In terms of playing on the O-line, how has the communication been for you with your teammates at Tulsa? You know, are you guys, you know, always getting the work done, always on top of your communication?
It's been good. It was like a chemistry thing too, you know what I'm saying? But like once you kind of, learn like who's who, how people work, you know, some guys are quiet, some guys got to get yelled at or want to, you know, get riled up. And you got, you know, some guys are just, okay, we just here, let's just, you know, mellow. So I feel like once you get an understanding of everyone as a player, then you can, like, really be able to decipher, like, how to communicate. And then when you get that, it's like it just works, like, it flows well. I feel like the five that was up there last year, we flowed real well together. We had some good chemistry, and I feel like that's why we had played better this year.
Yeah, how would you say that, like, on-field chemistry, on-field communication, how do you think that that's affected, like, your off-the-field life? Do you think some of those lessons that you learned of, like, teamwork and camaraderie in the offensive line have helped you off of the field?
Yes, because, I mean, I feel like I can really talk to anybody, honestly, like, no matter who you are. And I feel like that's just from getting out of my comfort zone and being able to understand people and be able to learn people, you know what I'm saying? Not everyone's going to be able to respond or be able to or articulate the same things you say. You know, y'all could be saying the same thing, but just in a different way. So being able to, like, filter out the real reasoning and I guess getting, like, a person's, like, why, once you understand that, it's, like, pretty easy from there. So, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And do you think that your ability, like, as a leader on the field, obviously a center always has to be a leader on the field, but do you think that ability has, like, kind of progressed throughout your years at Tulsa?
Yes, I mean, coming in as a freshman, you know, don't know nothing. You know, you just wide-eyed. I'm finna come start, but then you realize you got some grown men in front of you. So I guess understanding that and learning, like, looking at the guys in front of me and then learning and taking pieces of their game from them and making my own, I think, kind of, like, all put in together because, you know, you got some guys, like I said, you got to know who's who. You got some guys who's quiet that's going to work all the time. You got some guys who's going to get rallied up and get the guys hyping. You got some guys who's going to play filthy, you know what I'm saying? That's just them, and they have to play like that. So, like I said, once you get an understanding of that and kind of make it your own, it all comes in. You get understanding of everybody.
Yeah, definitely, man. And, you know, one thing that I wanted to definitely talk about, you know, obviously you talked about, you know, coming out of the freshman and, you know, learning and understanding how the game works. I wanted to take it all the way back to, you know, your high school days. You know, what was your recruitment process like, and how did you ultimately end up at Tulsa?
Oh, okay. So I played tackle, and I really was on the defense side of the ball. Then I had moved, and they had put me on the offense side of the ball. They put me at tackle because they needed more guys that can move. And so, I mean, college was seeing me. They was leaving me like an undersized tackle. So I didn't get many, like, top conference lists, but Tulsa was my biggest conference offers. So that's kind of why I went there. It's the best schooling. So that's why I made my decision to play at Tulsa. But it was pretty slow. I didn't really – as a lineman, you're not going to really get too many offers until your junior, senior year because that's develop. You know, that's a lot of development that comes in there. You might see quarterbacks and receivers and stuff like that get a little early because, you know, speed can't – you know, speed don't lie and skill is going to be there. But offensive linemen take a lot of, like, repetition, a lot of, like, reps, and just kind of – you got to, like, see a lot of stuff, you know what I'm saying, to really understand it. So, yeah, I was considered a late bloomer, but, I mean – I'm still glad of where I'm at, and I feel like it was the best thing for me.
Yeah, definitely, man. I mean, everything just worked out perfectly for you. But, you know, obviously when you arrived there as a freshman, you know, lots of responsibilities, you know, on your table in terms of, you know, football practice and also the workload for classes. How were you able to adjust to the responsibility that you had, you know, as a freshman being a student athlete?
My freshman year was pretty rough, actually, because I was doing high school things my first semester, so. I guess once you get out of the high school mode of I can't just look over, you know, the study guide the day before and then just go in there and take a test and get a B. That's all good. So I guess once you get past that, you know what I'm saying, get out of your ways. I play the game a lot, so I have to take some time from the game and go to the library. And once I learned to do that, then it all worked out.
Yeah, for sure. And I just wanted to ask, like, what are some of your favorite parts about, like, the Tulsa campus, like, outside of your football career and your academic career?
Staying on Tulsa campus. Well, it's a nice campus. I ain't really seen much of campus because of quarantine. But I like the rec center we had. I actually worked there over the summer a little bit. It's just real nice. I like the U. The U is just basically like a it's like the middle of our campus where it's like a big grass field, but all the dogs kinda go meet up there and play and stuff, and it's a good little trail around there that you can walk around. So it's nice. So I guess just having that the places where people kind of come together is the places I found that I like the most.
Yeah, for sure. You know, you talked about coming together, and I know you personally have come together a lot with your team. And I just wanted to ask, like, of your teammates, is there anyone that's really, like, stuck out to you that's really impressed you, their work ethic? Because, you know, you played with a lot of elite teammates over there. Is there anyone that really sticks out to you?
Yeah, man, I mean, it's a lot of guys. I mean, my right tackle, Chris Paul, that guy has a motor like no other. Zayvon Collins, you know, you probably heard of him. future first rounder player, and that guy, he's been consistent since we got here. We came into the same class together. So, but I didn't see a lot of guys, and I think it's just like the mental thing. And that's what I realized for myself. You know, once you get past the mental aspect of stuff and you learn, like, how to just keep working and not complain, that's going to give you a better outcome. So, just learning from all those guys definitely helped me improve myself.
Yeah, definitely, man. And then, you know, staying on topic of talking about, you know, teammates, what would you say your what do you think your teammates would say is your best quality, you know, on and off the field in terms of, you know, practicing with the team and going out there and playing?
I think I could talk, I communicate with everybody. I think that's a big thing. Like, I talk to everybody from the special teams to the O-line to DBs and all that. I try to make sure, like, I have some type of relationship with all my teammates, you know, and I think that's a good thing for outside because it makes it easier to network with others, you know, in class or professors or even people in their profession, you know what I'm saying, for career days, whatever, you know, being able to just be open and just talk, I feel like is a big skill to master, I guess. So I say the communication aspect thing.
Yeah, man, and that's definitely a big aspect, you know, you need to have in terms of playing center. And, you know, staying on topic, talking about, you know, your experience on the football field, who would you say is the best D lineman that you've gone up against so far in your experience at Tulsa?
When I look at D lineman, I say, like, I feel like the front seven is kind of, like, all together. So some good front sevens as holes I went against. Memphis last year was a pretty solid with number one. Cincinnati had a good core with 93, 90, 92. Those were some good guys that was rotating in. And then SMU and Tulane had a lot of, like, solid dudes up there too. But, yeah, I feel like I look at the whole scheme. It's not just one individual. I think that just, you know what I'm saying, I feel like the whole seven makes it all because, you know, when it comes to twisting or having pluggers with flowing linebackers, you know what I'm saying, when you go against defenses that can complement each other from the defensive line to the linebacker core, I feel like that's what makes them better as a whole. So, like, those schools have some good, front seven guys.
Yeah, for sure. And you've had a lot of success, obviously, blocking even against the most elite of front sevens. So I just wanted to ask, like, what's something specific over whether it's your college career or your high school career that you're most proud of? And what would you say is, like, your biggest achievement that you've had so far?
Man, I guess proving myself that I could do it, you know what I'm saying? Going last year, my first start was San Jose, but we played Michigan State our first game. And I wasn't starting at the time, but our center I was in the game at first was struggling, and I went in there, you know, and I didn't have no message or sign that saying I was going to play that day, but I just knew, like, I got to stay ready, you know what I'm saying, regardless of what happens. And he wasn't having the best day, and my name was called, I was able to go out there and execute. So I feel like being able to always stay ready and just worry about yourself and being able to just keep working was a big thing for me. So that was, like, one of my more proud moments, I'll say, myself.
Yeah, for sure. And on that line of, like, proud moments and things that, like, really stick out to you like that, what would you say, like, really motivates you the most? Like, whether it's on the football field, off the football field, just to, like, keep going, keep grinding every day. What would you say motivates you the most?
My wild had to be my family and my future family. You know, my mom, my dad, you know, we pretty middle class, you know, had some rough months, some good months. So, you know, I just seen that they did everything they could to provide for me and my little brother. So I just want to be able to do the same, you know what I'm saying, if not better. So for my future wife and kids, for example, that I got on the way, I just want to be able to provide for them. So those are my why. And to be able to give back to my parents for giving me and sacrificing so much is, like, my why I continue to work every day.
Yeah, 100%, man. Clearly, you know, the work you're putting in is definitely paying off for you. And, you know, staying on topic, talking about your experience so far at Tulsa, can you name us a game that you played in that was just, you know, the craziest atmosphere that you've ever experienced? You know, it could be, like, a really big in-conference game or a bowl game that you may have participated in. Just any crazy atmosphere that you've been in so far?
Yeah, I've been in a few. I'd say a big one would be UCF last year. That was, like, a big upset game, and we had a really, like, up and down season. A lot of close games we could have finished, but I feel like that UCF game was, like, a statement game. Like, okay, we can execute at a high level. We can beat big teams. And I think it was a big step for the program and the confidence level. Like, you know what I'm saying, we got this little toast, so we could beat with anybody. We just work hard and keep our mind to it. So I say that's, like, a big game to have me because, you know, the fans were crazy. It was everywhere. It was a good experience.
Yeah, definitely, man. And would you say that's your most, you know, memorable game of your college career? Is there any other game that was, you know, really sticks out in your head as your most memorable game so far?
I have to say, I guess the Cincinnati game, the championship game, that was a good game because, I mean, it wasn't the outcome we had, but it was like a tease of what we could do and that we can be here, you know what I'm saying, the championship game. And it was just, I just knew all eyes on us, you know what I'm saying, from the stands to the TV, and I just knew it was a big game and a big opportunity to definitely have a good game. So I'll say that was a good experience.
Yeah, and kind of like shifting gears here, you know, you're someone, you've had a lot of success so far in college, and, you know, you've got really good draft prospects so far. So, you know, what really compelled you to come back to Tulsa for another year, and is the goal still like draft 2022?
Yeah, for me, I just wanted to finish my degree. You know, I didn't work my butt off. I might as well just finish it. You know, that's what I've been saying. So I got one more semester till I graduate, so. I just want to come back and finish that and then just work on some like little stuff in my game that I feel I need to improve. I got better on as the season went on, but I want to just start off like that. Now, how I ended, that's how I want to start and grow from there. Just to self-scout, you know what I'm saying? Like my palate was something I worry about. I want to cut my way down a little bit. And just like I said, just be more consistent, you know what I'm saying? Put more good tape out there and just to really, you know what I'm saying? Just kind of lay it out there, leave it all out there so there's no question, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's huge. First of all, like the degree stuff, that's obviously huge. I think it's great whenever someone, you know, when you start a degree, you might as well finish it pretty much with anything. Like when you start it, you put a lot of work in, you're very close to finishing. I don't see why not finish it. And also to keep improving your game, I mean, you could keep going up, you could keep getting better and become more appealing to those NFL teams, which is just absolutely huge. And, you know, I just wanted to, you seem like someone who, you know, like you said, you're a good communicator. You're someone who could definitely tell a story. So can you tell us the story behind your number? Like what, is there any significance behind the number you wear on the field?
To be honest, no. in high school, I had 75. I wanted to wear that, but my left guard, actually, Dante Bivens, he committed first and he wore as well. So we got first deals on that. So I was like, okay. So I went to 55, and then they got retired by Jerry Strassi, who was basically a Tulsa a legend who played center and had most of his career playing with the Bills. So I just went to 66 because I just felt like it was just a solid number, and it just looked good on me. The guy that worked before was Evan Plagg, and he was just nasty. And I just watched him as a freshman. He was nice, so I kind of just wanted to, you know what I'm saying, bring it back, I guess.
Yeah, definitely, man. And, you know, before we wrap this interview up, you know, last question that I want to ask, obviously, you know, Nate mentioned how, you know, declaring for the draft next year, you know, very exciting time, obviously, when that time comes around. And, you know, one thing I like asking a lot of the college guys on the show is if you had a choice to get drafted to one team in the league, do you have a team that you'd want to go to?
To be honest, not really. I just want to go somewhere that has a great culture, honestly, that got a quarterback that understands, you know what I'm saying, that we grind up there for him. And just a team that's trying to win. I just want a team with a good culture that has the right mentality. A great coach I can have an on-field relationship with as well. So, I mean, if I got all that, I'd be fine, really. I don't care if it be hot or cold, no matter. By the beach or, like, in the snow, whatever, so.
Yeah, definitely, man. You know, wanting to have a great coach is definitely, you know, something very key in terms of the NFL, and, you know, lots of great coaches in the NFL. So I'm sure, you know, whatever team you end up getting drafted to will have a great coach, unless if it's unless it's the Cowboys, because you know, screw the Cowboys, go Giants. But with that, you know, that wraps up our interview for today. Gerard, I want to thank you so much for being able to hop on the show with us today, man, and talk with us. It was a pleasure to have you on. You got anything else you want to say before we sign off?
No, just thank you and appreciate you for having me. Thanks for the opportunity. And then any young viewers out there, I guess, like high school, like I said, just keep working, you know what I'm saying? And it's going to show. You know, people not going to see it, and it's going to happen when people aren't around. But when you know you're working, just make sure you have a mentality or just have that thought of, okay, I'm out working the guy in front of me. And it's going to show. It's going to show on the field. It's going to show in life. When it's time to get a real job, when the cleats are done. So I say just keep working. And sometimes, you know what I'm saying, the most of work is done by yourself.
Yeah, 100%, man. I hope you guys enjoyed that motivation from Gerard right there. You know, keep working, and it'll show on and off the field. Nate, you got anything else you want to say before we sign off?
Man, I don't even need to do these ending things anymore. Every single guest we got on has amazing motivation now. You know, I usually end it off with some motivation, but, you know, Gerard said it better than I could. So that was just fantastic stuff. Want to echo that for sure.
Yeah, man, 100%. But with that, that wraps up our show for today. I want to thank everyone for listening. If you haven't, make sure you subscribe and listen to our past episodes, as well as follow us on Instagram at QF Podcast for more football content and episode updates. But with that, I want to thank everyone once again for listening, and we'll see you guys next time.